This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
All right, we are back. Hollywood Casino Press Box for the all-new 590 The Fan. Let me go through a couple of quick texts. Fedorov was a very active defenseman for a while. Paul Coffey, he was about as close as you could get to Bobby Orr, I think, in terms of offensive skill, right?
There wasn't a better skater than him could take off and just glide down the ice.
How do you leave Oates off with Hall? If you go by, like, chemistry, you'd want to keep them together. But if we're going all-time, I mean, gosh, was anybody a better passer than Adam Oates? Craig Janney was pretty good.
Craig Janney was very good, yeah. And Bernie was good there, too.
Oh, yeah.
And, there are so many great. I mean, that's what it is. You'll have more arguments, and there's different errors. I mean, people to see some of these players, they're all great there.
Brendan Shannon has to make the list. We did have Shanny on there. R was Hall, Federico, Sutter, Turgeon, Shanny, Tarasenko, Red, Babich, Dimitra, and then Unger, Tkachuk, O'Reilly. There's a lot of, you're right. It's pretty tough to do.
You know, there's one player when you put it in there. Montreal Canadiens had the top four lines, first line, second line, third line. And there were some great hockey players that weren't on there because they weren't the top first or second. But there was a player who was more proud than anything that made the top line, four lines, Montreal, all Montreal, was Jimmy Roberts. Jimmy Roberts was picked because he was the fourth line, and he was the best at being that. So Jimmy Roberts could be in there as one of the, he could fit in there anywhere.
Barbashev is from Moscow. Yes, that's a good point. All right, a couple of quick Blues thoughts. They have, I guess, three decisions to make about Edmondson, Gunnarsson, and Maroon, free agents. And, two of the three had two of the most famous goals in Blues history. And Edmondson had some moments, too. But this is a tough, these are going to be some really tough decisions. How do you see it?
Well, they're tough decisions, but I think the general manager's got to sit there, and there's going to be favorites, there's going to be this here, but, in the back of your mind, what is good for the hockey team? And you look, people don't know, there's some young kids that are coming in here, and we've seen what some of those players, because of injuries, got to do last year when they got the chance to play. All of a sudden, they're players right now. So it's going to be a tough decision, but always, when you're in management, the team comes first, and there's some...
You imagine having to tell Pat Maroon we're going to go in a different direction as St. Louis and who authored the Game 7 goal? That's a tough call. Wow.
Well, very tough calls. I learned very fast when I went into this business with Emil Francis. My first year, we're picking the defenseman. Who do you like? We're rating them, and I kept putting a player in there that, he's there. He's my favorite. He'll be there. He'll be there. And he was having a terrible training camp, but I had played with him the year before, and then I get called in, and Mr. Francis says, you could be right, and maybe you're right. Your guy is pretty playing in there, but, it's not your friends. It's not your buddies now. The hockey club comes first. Mm. So you go out there, forget your friendship. Even if your brother's there and he's not playing, you have to get rid of him. That's what you do. The hockey club comes first. So that's why there's some of my favorites I see in there. But then I look at the hockey team. The hockey team comes first.
How about the story of Mike Keenan asking you about trading Brendan Shanahan?
Well, Mike Keenan come up there and he goes, would you trade Brendan Shanahan for Chris Pronger? I said, right now. And he said, wait, think about it. I said, you don't have to think about this one. I says, Shanahan was great, but he was a forward. But I had watched Pronger play since he was 16 years old, played junior. I watched his first year as an 18-year-old draft, and when he went to Hartford, I got to watch the exhibition games. I'm in there and watch, and I seen four of his exhibition games, and he was the best player on the ice as 18 years old in the size, and he's a defenseman. So my thoughts were there, too. Defensemen, they're tough to get. I mean, defensemen, and you win with good defensemen. And so... it was a no question. Plus, Shanahan were trading to Hartford. And that's what I said with Mike, too. I says, we don't have to face Shanahan. We only see him once or twice a year.
That's good.
We're trading him out of our division.
So Keenan actually listened to you on some things. I thought he didn't listen to anybody.
Oh, no. Well, that's why, you know, I'm the guy that we'll get into someday. I will write, and I'll get Mike in here. We'll tell little stories about, I'm still a believer, if Mike Keenan was here, we would have had Stanley Cups before. But anyways, yeah, well, he would listen, and that's good. He says, well, I said, but you know, when you make this deal, it's going to be tough. And Mike Keenan just grabbed me one time. He says, you know, I'll ask you. You tell me what you want. Don't ever worry about the press, the media. I'll handle that. You know, and don't worry about, because I kept saying, oh, you're going to turn off the people in the city. You do this here, you'll. But, you know, the deal was made, and then we sit there and we say, you know, you hope. And we said when we made the deal, this guy will be an all-star maybe, and someday he might be the MVP. Someday he'll be this here,
yeah.
Which he
well,
was. And he
out.
Got better at the end. I mean, was a tough trade. And, you know, the Pavo Dimitri, people come in here. Pavo was in the minor leagues for a couple of years, and he's the player that I'd watched. And you put your report. First year was in Prince Edward Island. It was owned by Ottawa. Ottawa have a load of European players that are good. But Pavo, you see him in the American League, was... He was good, and it was in my reports, good, but he's owned. And the next year when Mike Keenan was there, I'm up there in Grand Rapids and all that, and you talked to Mike after, pretty well after all the games, and I said, Mike, I says, the best hockey player in the American Hockey League by far, the best player is here, is that Pavo Dimitra. And he goes, well, if he's that good, he says, why is he still in the minor leagues? And I said, well, Mike, go look at the Ottawa's, their list of their players. This kid, he's a kid. Look at their list. Anderson, all these Europeans, they don't have room for him. But their guy is Jacques Martin. He was the general manager, I says, who was at the game, and I had talked to him, and they're looking for a defenseman. And he brought up Oyster's name, the kid we had, the Swedish kid that was back and forth. I says, and, you know, he brought up his name. He said, okay, so we'll go and work on something. And it's 2 days later, and Mike phones, and he goes, we got your guy. That's what I said. We got your guy. That's what he goes, Pavo Dimitri, sir. We trade for him.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And when Pavo come down there, I mean, what he did here, and he was, I mean, they didn't have the room. And so I says, well, I says, we have another player up here that was just as good that played with him was the Picard. And it was great in the American. So it ended up Mike went and got him too. We got him, and he played. He was good, but he was a minor league, top minor leaguer. He went back in minor league, led the league in scoring. But yeah, Pavo was there, and that was and Jimmy Roberts always says, your guy. But yeah, we got him. It was a steal.
So let me ask you this: if you had Keenan's ear, did you ever say to him, Mike, quit being a horse's a? And just be a reasonable human being. I mean, there's a. I've read in the Curtis Joseph book about how he said something so nasty to Cujo that Cujo turned the desk over and wanted to fight him. Pronger has told us a couple of times that Shanahan that Keenan would say to him, "I traded Brendan Blanking Shanahan for you. You better play." Just browbeating this 21-year-old to death. Did you ever like tell Keenan? Ease up or just change a little.
Well, there's some things, but you've mentioned players. Look how good they became, and they went on to become.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's the way you handle players. You know, Scotty handled players certain ways, too. Mike Keenan, maybe that was the way they handled him. We talk about the goalies. Who are some of the best, greatest goalies? Hextall, what a great goalie he was. Belfort, what a great goalie he was. Well, do you think he patted Belfort on the back? Hextall? Hextall chased him down the runway, swung the stick at him once, and just missed hitting him on the over his head with Mike Keenan. And Mike would just grin and laugh and say, I got him going now. And he'd look at him and say, well, you're that good. You want to get back. And, well, those guys would go out there and prove Mike wrong. They would just want to shove it up Mike. And like this here. So they become great hockey players. Belfort, he'd come on the bench. He would pull him and take him off. And Belfort would like, well, I'll show that guy. He went out on the ice, and he became, and look how great these guys were.
Yeah.
Maybe if you pat him on the back. Scotty, you handle players in different ways. And Cujo, you know, you can say what you want, Cujo, but Scotty knew how to handle, I think. And I saw all these guys that come in here want to fight him and all this here. They're all pretty good hockey players. And they always talk about, it was Messier took that team in New York. They won the Stanley Cup because him and Mike got into it. Well, Mike would say, how do you get a team up? How do you, you know, you can go in there and yell and scream at them. You can do this here. But no, but he goes in there and he challenges the best player. The best player gets on him. Well, I'll take it. And he said, I'll take this team. Well, Mike Messier took that team and he went.
Yeah.
Because Mike Keenan insulted him and challenged him, said, you can't do this here. Not you. You think you're that good? Well, he went out to prove it. So, hey, these guys that write things or say things about certain coaches and all that, hey, they're there where they are because of some of those coaches or some of the things that were done.
Well, I spent some time with Nick Kyprios in Boston, and he was on that Ranger team that won it with Keenan. And I said, how would you describe that club or that atmosphere in the locker room? He says, well, a third of the people liked Mike Keenan. A third of the people didn't like Mike Keenan. And a third of the people wanted to kill Mike Keenan.
Yeah, but they went out and won a cup.
Yeah, they did.
And there
first
was Stephen Matteau there. He brought in there. Some of those guys they brought in that played. There were nothing that played. Gets a winning goal. No, don't kid. And I sat enough with Mike. And why I like Mike was because when I went in, I would talk about players. Hey, well, he trusted me. And he went out and he did things, certain things. And someday, and when we get off the air, I'm going to tell you how St. Louis would have won Stanley Cups if we're off the air, but I don't.
Of all the players that Keenan coached in St. Louis, which one of the Blues players do you think wanted to take a swing at him the most?
Well, maybe at one time all of them, but that's how they get him up. You talk about Cujo and the goaltender. Like Mike had pulled goaltenders. He'd pulled Belford and put him back in. He got him. And then he watches them on the bench, and they look at him, and then he says, now I got a guy there. He's peeved off. He hates this here. Now he's going to go out there and show me. But when you pull a goalie and you look at him, you want to find the feeling. And you pull the goalie and you watch him. He comes to the bench. He puts his gloves down. He sits there and yawns and doesn't do nothing. You know, Mike has a different story or a different feeling for that guy. He's not a battler. He's not going to show me nothing. He just...
Speaking of goaltenders, we didn't get to that list. If we went three, you'd go Glenn Hall, maybe Grant Fuhr, and then I don't know how you can keep Jordan Binnington off it. Now, I want to ask you this. There are plenty of examples of goaltenders who have great stretches, and then we never hear from them again. What makes you think that Jordan Binnington is going to be around for a long time?
Well... You know, I think, well, like everybody else, when he come in here, we waited for him to fail. You're waiting for him. Oh, give him another game there. I mean, he's playing so good, but he's going to fail. And he kept getting better and better. So now you watch him. And then you watch the way the players react. And again, why did this team become so good being in the last place? He was another big reason, the coach. But when you're playing a game and you're not playing good, but you're going out for the third period and you're down one goal or it's tied, as players, you go in there and say, hey, guys, this guy has given us the chance to win. He's given us a chance to win. So you go out and you play one period for that guy. And when your team is not playing good, which times during the year, you see it going on. But yet, we were very good in the third period. We won games in the third period. Well, why do you win in the third period? It's because the goaltender has given you the chance to come and win. And then he won games by himself. And it just kept getting going on and on. Now here you are in the playoffs. Well, let's see what he does in the playoffs. Well, he would win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I watched him too. You watch. We had Glenn Hall get an overtime goal scored against him. He looked back at the goal. He goes right into the dressing room. It's nothing. He gets dressed. They come in. He goes, hey, what am I going to do about it? The goal is scored. We got a game coming up tomorrow night. I got to get ready for that. Well, he has that mentality that he just lets it go and get ready for the next game.
Have you seen enough of Ville Husso to think that the Blues could save some money and put Jake Allen in a different spot and Ville could be the backup next season?
Well, you know, he could be, but again, it's just, if you're the general manager, you know, you need two goaltenders anyways. You need, to me, you need two, and I think this team has always been successful when we've had two very good goaltenders. You know, it's just the contracts. What do you want to sign? I mean, it's tough. Keith Allen, I mean, Allen had some great years. Allen was a good goaltender here for us. And the way he just, at the end, he never raised any problems like this here. And he was ready to play any time. And, you know, he's a good goaltender. And there might be other teams that are going to lose goaltenders that are going to be looking for goalies. So,
Bob, I want you to listen to this. We've been doing this radio show for 25 years. And then somebody just texted in, Frank, here is your program's Mount Rushmore of guests. Andy Van Slyke, Bill Walton, Dan Dierdorf, and Bobby Plager. So you've made the list. Congratulations. I tell you, I thought about you first when that clock was ticking. We appreciate everything you do, and I hope you enjoy this this day with the cup coming up.
Well, it's the greatest, and it's been a great weekend. In fact, my next thing will be, hey, fellas, I had so much fun. It's been great. Would you do that again for me next year?
The great Bob Plager. We'll take a break. Martin will join us when we come back.